Lord God, please let what I say come from you, through me, and out to others. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. So, a billion seconds ago, it was 1959. And give or take a few, a billion minutes ago, Jesus was walking around on the earth. A billion hours ago, our ancestors were living in the Stone Age and playing with rocks. A billion dollars ago, well, at the rate Washington spends it, it was about 8 hours and 20 minutes. You cannot serve God and wealth. You know, there were a lot of questions about this gospel this morning. It's been kind of tough the last few weeks. There have been some pretty amazing things that have come out of the gospel that are hard to understand. So I had to kind of start with the questions. And the question that I had to ask is this: do we as people have unconditional commitments that we cling to for our identities and our culture and our centers and our sources of power? And are those unconditional commitments in contrast to the gospel? I think the answer is yes. We do cling to identities. We do cling to cultural things that are in contrast to the gospel. And it's our needs and our wants and desires, especially our want and desire for wealth, that become obstacles to the gospel. And about our sense of power, absolute power, we all know it, corrupts absolutely. So what do we do with these readings? By our nature, I think that we assign value to people and we assign value to things, and that's because that's our worldview, and it's self-serving. It's not God-serving. This month, I had to preach this, some of it not here, but Denise had to preach it here. We started a few weeks ago with, there are five in a family, and three shall be against two, and two shall be against three. And the next sermon comes up, and it's, you have to hate your mother and father. I mean, are you kidding? This is really hard stuff to figure out. When I had to preach that sermon, I went to the dictionary and I had to look up the word hate. And what it said was that hate is an aversion to something. And that means that you have to set all else aside if you are to focus on what it is you're supposed to be doing. And I'll tell you what, being a disciple of Christ, following Jesus, this is not easy to do. It's not easy to do at all. The good news for us is that God takes delight when sinners repent. And like it says, when children find the light. We heard that last week in Holy Cross. It was also in the other lectionary. That walking in the light, that's an important thing to do. It's an endless cycle of sin and redemption. The bottom line, I think, to all of this, we've been told over and over again for the last few weeks repeatedly, that to follow Jesus, we need to do it with intent, and we need to be single-minded, we need to focus, and we need to finish what we start. It's not a hobby, following Jesus. It's not just a hobby. It's not something that's meant to be taken lightly. It's serious business, and it is not self-serving. It's not my worldview. It's God-serving, and it's the kingdom worldview. So that's what today's gospel says. We cannot serve two masters. The gospel actually reads, you cannot serve God and wealth. No slave can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. When I stop focusing on what I want and what I need and what's good for me, my self-serving point of view, and I focus instead on loving people and following Jesus' commandments, that's when I find peace. That's when I can really move forward in the world. And I'll tell you what, that balm of Gilead we heard about in Jeremiah, that's what that is. When we finally turn around and really get serious about loving one another and being one people and helping each other out, that's what that balm of Gilead is for our souls. The gospel speaks and they ask the question, who do you serve? What gods do you worship? And no matter how hard I try to get closer to God and just be the best Jamie that I can be, because that's all I can be, I find that occasionally, as we all do, I think, I find that I'm not serving God, but I'm serving the God of greed, the God of anger, the God of envy, the God of lust. Do we know the rest of the list? I think so. We get caught up in that. The good news of the gospel is that we can be redeemed, and we need to keep looking for and following the light. I don't know if anybody out there is a Bob Dylan fan. I am. I think Bob Dylan's kind of like a prophet in his own time. I do. I think he had a lot of good things to say. And one of the songs that he wrote, I think, speaks to the gospel today. He wrote a song called, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." I'm going to share some of Bob's words with you here. It says, "But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." So how do we serve God? How do we get that done? How do we stay focused? I'll tell you what, it's hard. I don't think anybody wants to hear the answer as to how we serve God. I, for one, am not interested in giving up my material possessions. It's not anything anybody wants to do. I like my stuff. But it's what possesses us, and it's how we define and value each other that gets us into trouble. I hate to say that I actually have put value on people and values on things. I try never to do that, but I slip into it. I think we all do. It's something we need to guard against if we're really to love each other. Did anybody see the YouTube came out a few months ago? It's about a bunch of psychology students. They did a social experiment at one of the subway stations. They took an actor. He was dressed kind of like a homeless person. He had on, you know, torn jeans, and his hair was disheveled, and he was looking pretty pitiful. And he was laying on the ground near the subway. And so they filmed people walking by until they got about 100 people. Some people actually walked over him as he was groaning on the ground, clearly pleading for help and in obviously looking like he needed medical attention. Out of 100 people, I think only 2 of them stopped to ask if he needed help and see if he was okay. Then, after they did that, same guy went and got cleaned up, shaved, did his hair, put on a really nice business suit, and he went to the metro again, and he laid down on the ground, and he was groaning the exact same words in the exact same way, and a dozen plus people stopped. "Are you okay? Are you okay? Can I help you? Are you okay?" And even a dozen more people they observed were standing there looking over like, "Oh, he looks like he's in some kind of trouble," but those people are taking care of him. But they actually stopped in their tracks just to make sure he was okay. We hate to admit that we put values on people, but we do. And if we're really going to be serious about being a disciple of Christ and following Jesus, we need to stop doing that and to focus on loving one another and being fair and honest with each other. I thought that I could avoid this whole discussion about the master and the, you know, saying good things about the guy who was dishonest and the dishonest manager, but I'm not going to avoid that. And I got a little bit of insight, because on the surface, all of those readings, it talks about dishonesty, and it looks like, oh hey, go make friends with people by dishonest means, it's all right, you'll go into the eternal homes. So I did a little research, and I think before we answer that question, we need to be schooled just a little bit on the Roman-occupied economics of Galilee in the first century. So the rich and powerful were the loan sharks of the day, and they made money on the backs of the laborers and the peasants and the poor. You know, that 1% thing, does it sound familiar? Taking advantage of those who are marginalized? We don't have payday loans or student loans or anything like that today. We've gotten past that, right? No, we haven't. We haven't. So Barbara Rossing, a New Testament professor at the Lutheran Seminary in Chicago, is where I went to for a commentary to learn a little bit more about this. And what she had to say was that if this master was indeed a Jew, it doesn't tell us if he's a Jew or a Gentile, we're assuming he's Jewish, he would have known about the laws in the Torah. And the Torah says this: you may only receive what you lent. In other words, you're not allowed to charge interest. The law of the covenant was that you can lend things, but you're not allowed to receive back more than you lent. How quickly do you suppose that the rich and the powerful kind of pushed the envelope a little bit and a little bit more and found ways to charge a little extra principal for the favor until we get to the point where it was 25 to 50% is what they were charging on top of what was borrowed. And this was clearly not what they were supposed to be doing. So really, what the shrewd manager did, most likely, was that he cut out, I mean, there was tax to the Romans, there his own cut for managing the property and such. What he probably really did was he went and he cut back all of the payments that were owed to his master to what was lent. What, according to the law, was really owed. So, of course, now the master is stuck because he can't have people thinking, oh, he needs them to think that he's obeying the law and he's upright and he's not crooked. But he was. He was a loan shark in the first century. But he commends him and he says, you got me good there. How shrewd. Now everybody loves you. Everybody's happy about having their bills cut. And I am absolutely pleased about following the law and not collecting anything extra. Thank you very much. So the focus on the gospel message that I wanted to put was not so much on that little lesson on economics in the first century, but it's more on the joy of God healing our relationships, and that includes our economic relationships. You know, I noticed as we were saying the psalm this morning, there's a line in there about have we become, you know, bad to our neighbors as well? Have we been the ones who have oppressed as well? And I think that that's probably true. We have to repair those economic relationships if we're to move forward as one people. And Jesus warns that we can't be disciples while accumulating wealth on the backs of the poor and the marginalized. Because Jesus was all about forgiving debts. And he was all about restoring hope. And we should be too. We need to focus on the kingdom view and on the eternal promises that he had for us. We have to be faithful in little, and we have to be faithful in much. We need to take our discipleship and our decisions to follow Christ seriously. It's not an easy thing to do, but we have to keep trying. We have to love one another the best we can. We have to be God-serving and not so self-serving. It's hard, but I think together we can encourage each other to do just that, because we cannot serve two masters. Bishop Curry just put out a video, Presiding Bishop Curry, and he was talking again about the Jesus movement, and what he had to say was this. He said, this is how we can do this, we need to put Jesus at the center, and if we do that, we are going to have loving, liberating, life-giving relationships with God. And if we have loving, giving, life-giving relationships with God that are liberating, then we're going to have solid relationships with each other as well. Reconciliation and love of God's creation. And I think that's our path forward. So keep this in mind. In this life, you're going to have to serve somebody. Choose wisely. Amen.